Howdy and welcome back to the Ramble Room. It's great to have everybody here that is here. Sitting here, this is a very special edition of the Ramble Room. We have three Wyoming State representatives and another honored guest with us. David, you're probably not a guest anymore, but we'll get
probably
to
not
that in a second. Anyway, around the room, we have Representative Mark Jennings, District 30.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We have Representative Rachel Rodriguez-Williams, District 50.
Hello there.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Delighted to have you in the Ramble Room. I think it's your first time, but that's...
It is.
Good. I hope you come back. David Iverson, Cowboy State Politic.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm dandy. And from everybody's favorite, District number one, Representative Chip Nyman.
Good to be here, Ken. Thanks for the opportunity.
Good to have you back. Also with us as a special guest today is Mark Jones. He's the regional director of the Rocky Mountain and the Great Plains
Gun Owners of America. And I live down in Buffalo, Wyoming. Happy to be here.
One of the goals of the Ramble Room is to educate people who are brand new to politics, have never really thought about these things, maybe aren't keeping up with all those. So if we have this term, a ranked choice election, what does that mean? How would that work logistically?
Well, it's weighted votes so that you would pick your first choice, your second choice, your third choice, you know. And it's weighted, and there's algorithms that would run in that. And I would agree that by and large, most of those are not functional. And they create as many problems as they might solve. And they're hard to administer.
I don't know about you, but when you said algorithms, the hair on the back of my neck stood up.
It's a hard word for me to pronounce also.
Especially after that Florida debacle some years back.
It'd be hard to administer. There's no question. Secretary Buchanan agrees that it's... There are some that are less cumbersome, is my understanding. And like I said, I've not looked into them. I would be remiss to say that I was supportive of any of them.
Well, maybe we ought to get the other Mark's opinion here. You just recently moved to Wyoming. What did you say, 3 months ago?
Yeah, that's right.
So hearing all this conversation, what are your thoughts?
Oh my goodness. You know, I'm a Second Amendment advocate and generally prefer to take positions on that, but obviously, from a personal perspective, it sounds like what Representative Nyman tried to do makes a lot of sense. And in some of the other states I've lived in, that was the law. You know, if you didn't get more than 50%, 50 plus one, you had to run against another challenger in a runoff. And that seems to be pretty common in other parts of the country. It seems to work pretty good. And personally, I can't speak for my employer, but I think it makes a lot of sense. As a Wyoming voter, I'd like to have a chance to go back to the polls and vote in that runoff election. So,
how does that work? Do we get a grizzly bear and a 40-yard track?
So one of the other things that I found really disturbing about that corporations committee hearing that Representative Nyman was the punching bag in, or what'd you call it, the whipping boy?
I think that was the terminology.
I think that's what he used. You know. Yeah, was the phrase, and I find this very disturbing. It's you were told that you're one of us now. Oh. And I found that really, really disturbing.
I jumped out of my chair.
And maybe we need to educate listeners a little bit. Right. So basically, Representative Nyman's testifying before the committee, and he's asking for all of his colleagues to support this runoff election bill. And he's trying to make the argument, look, the people that I represent, well, we can let you tell it.
Well, I mean, it boiled down to, you know, the idea that what my thought was if I could get legislators to basically sign on to say that, yes, I'm willing to pledge support for this because we know it's what people want. And I guess I had the audacity to ask them to sign a pledge because I wanted to bring something tangible, physical to the Corporations Committee and say, here, guys, look, this is how desperately people want this kind of legislation to come and come in support of that legislation. You know, because I told him in the committee, listen, I've already made, you know, an error in that you don't push hard enough to get a piece of legislation. I had some legislation that I had formulated and brought forward that didn't even get, you know, introduced because I wasn't out there promoting it. I wasn't out there trying to really, you know, drive it and to get it there. Well, I didn't want to make that same mistake twice. And I know this as well, is that if you don't know what kind of support you have, and if you, and I mean, these are the legislators and folks that we're going to be voting on yes or no, whether this is going to see the light of day or not. I'd like to know that. I'd like to know what the support level is out there. There's no point in going out there if there's not enough people that are interested in this to go beat my head against a door, you know, a wall just for the entertainment value. I mean, there's other things to do. But the reality of it is if I could just find out who's for it, who's against it. And I will say this. It was amazing how many people contacted me in support runoff election and supported what I did. They said, you know, I got no problem with this. This was not, and that, and I think that was the biggest rub in this. They felt like as if this was a gotcha. I'm going to pin you down. I'm going to put you out in there, and I'm going to, if you don't support it, then, you know, then I'm going to beat you with this later. Or if you did, then this is a kudos to you. My heart in this and my intent was never, and I've made this clear, my heart in this was never to try to catch people or to try to use this as a means to whip them with.
You were acting like Newt Gingrich did years ago in the contract with America. If you elect us, this is what we stand for, and this is what we're going to do.
Well, and I think in this particular case, I'm granted, Liz Cheney has brought this to the forefront. I mean, this has exacerbated this. This is added a degree of intensity that this may have never seen before. So it's a front burner issue. It's an issue that people in my district are very, very, you know, dedicated, emotional about. I mean, they want the opportunity to get who they, you know, get a vote for somebody that they know that they can have an actual vote, not get in there with less than half the vote. And her actions and her attitude and what's going on with the Democrats basically using our representative as a spear point or a bludgeon to use on President Trump. But they did. I mean, there was nothing that irritated folks in my part of the country worse than Nancy Pelosi, you know, using talking points that our representative from our congressional representative spoke about to beat a man that just won the state of Wyoming by 73% or 74%, you know, so that was the catalyst. And so my thought was, if we're going to run this legislation, which Bo Bightman pushed and in SF-145 out of the Senate and worked hard at it, it didn't make it. But my thought was, we need to resurrect this thing. We got to do this because time is of the essence. We don't have time to mess with this. I know I need to push it. And in order to do that, I had to be asking questions, finding out what the support level was for it out there, take those names with me to the Corporations Committee, say, here, now look here, we've got a majority of the legislators in the state of Wyoming that have evidently talked, and I would trust, talked to their constituents, found out what their desire level was, and they were representing their constituents', you know, desires and beliefs in this. And so we know we've got the support, so let's move ahead with this. And I just wanted to be, you know, an integral part of that and be a driver for it. And I think it ruffled some feathers because I think there was some...
You asked them to be on the record.
I asked them to put their name to it, and I think it bothered them.
What you did, whether this was your goal or not, and I applaud you for it, was you pulled the curtain back. One of the comments that was made in a rather condescending tone, which still makes me angry to this day, we represent all the people Wyoming. All that Representative Nyman is trying to say is the people that sent me here, the people that elected me, that sent me here, believe this way, and I'm going to represent them. I'm going to represent them in a place where people in Cheyenne may feel differently than they do. People in Rawlins may feel differently than they do. My job is not to represent the people of Cheyenne, the people of Rawlins. My job is to represent the people that sent me here. But what this mentality that was exposed was, we are special people. You're one of us now.
Now it's different.
Now we have to think for every individual and every person in the state of Wyoming and do what's best for them. I was livid.
Well, and I think, you know, it's, and I heard that, and I was kind of taken aback at that.
Your response was excellent, too, by the way.
Well, and I think that was... It was
by the way, just as a little note, I know that David on his program, Cowboy State Politics, and I have one on mine, and we'll put at the end of this links to those, where we actually played the transcript, or not the transcript, we actually played the sound bites from this, so you can hear what was said, you can hear what we're talking about, you can hear Representative Nyman's able response, and I, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, I encourage you to do that.
I think, you know, and in the, to speak to Dave's point in this, is when the us, you're one of us now, and my being a very junior legislator, I mean, that I didn't even understand really how to take that in, because I've never looked at it as it's a, I guess here's the point. When you say that you're one of us, then that also automatically creates a them. And so, and I've never looked at it that it's us and them. You know, it's, I've always looked at it as it's that we are together, and that I am a representative of them. I'm not separated from the people. If anything, especially as a representative, my responsibility is to be as close as I possibly can to my people, because I have to be reelected every 2 years. And that's the whole point of that, is that if I'm not sensitive and listening to the people and taking their values with me and representing them in the way that they see fit or that they want, then I will be replaced. And that's the thing that's been kind of difficult to try to understand in this whole thing, is that I thought that's what my job was.
It is your job.
And, you know, and I went down there with that idea, is that listen, this is when I'm listening to you guys, you're telling me what you want me to do and what's important to you. And it's my job to go down, because you're making hay and you're working 9 to 5 and you're taking your kids to soccer practice or football or whatever, and you're staying busy and you're trying to generate the revenue and keep the fires burning at home. Chip, we've hired you, or we've placed our trust in you, and we voted for you to go down there and to do what we ask you to do and represent us, because a majority of us elected you to go do that. I never thought for one moment about the idea that now I have suddenly, there's a them and there's an us. And I think that was one of the things, and I will have to agree, it was a difficult thing to listen to and to realize suddenly now it's like, well, you know better. We have to work together. We're and I want to work with these legislators. I really do. But my first responsibility is to the people that I represent in my district. And if I don't do and listen to them and to do their bidding, but that's what you basically do. You're down here to try to represent their views. And they're very different from other places in the state. And I think that's what's so critical here, that we all as representatives around this table do that. Then this isn't an us and them. This is a we corporately working together with the corporate good of our communities to come down here and do and I've heard it said, and I said it in that testimony, it's a group genius. You know, we go down here and we work together to make good ideas, and we bring the perspectives from each district as a representative from those districts, and we work together to see if we can work the kinks out and make it good for the whole state. That's where our representation of the whole state comes in. But how can the state be representative if we negate the responsibility that we have to our people?
If the masses overwhelm the minority. Representative Williams, this is your first tour, correct?
Correct.
Correct. When you watched this, if I may ask, what went through your mind? What was your reaction?
I was pretty appalled by the pushback that Representative Nyman got. We occupy the people's seat. We represent the people of our district. And I, too, this is my first year, I too, try my best to stay in really good contact and be transparent with my constituents. I come from a conservative area. I ran as a conservative, and I vote as a conservative. And I think there was a lot of people that realized Cheyenne is not conservative. And the folks in my district want to see this runoff bill. They want to see it pass. They have the same concerns that Representative Nyman expressed of his constituents. And so I think we need to fight for it. I think that we need to to get out there and share what's happening and the type of pushback that's occurring just because of some simple tactics that are being used. The word pledge, I think, rubs people the wrong way. I think there's folks out there that are in elected positions that don't want to put their name on paper. But the reality is when you campaign for a seat, you're knocking on doors, you're speaking at forums, you're attending debates, and you're telling the people what you stand for and how you're going to vote on certain issues. So why does it make a big difference if you're putting an initial next to a statement or you're signing a pledge?
You don't want to be put in the box.
Right.
So, Representative Jennings, you've been in Cheyenne for a while now. You're sitting there from a perspective that the rest of us, as newbies and outsiders, don't yet have. Is there some truth or some aspect of accuracy in what was said to Representative Nyman that we're not seeing?
The I was thinking about it from another standpoint because I've seen it for 7 years. And listen, what was said there was just a revealing of elitism. And I agree with Rachel and Chip that's absolutely incorrect. That's not what we're sent there for. But in my 7 years, I was not surprised that they did what they did to Chip. Hate to tell you that, friend, but we've heard it from leadership time and again. You'll go into caucus and they'll say things like, listen, we all know that you ran as a conservative. When you get down here, things are different. You have to work with these people.
No, they're not.
And it's extremely, very frustrating. So once again, I'm very grateful for Chip and Rachel and all the other young conservatives that have joined, because it's good to have some reinforcements, because we're some of us are really tired of that elitism. And it's but I wasn't surprised. I was had I known what all Chip was going down there for, I'd have tried to warn him a little more. That having been said, right. I think there's parts to that. You know, what Chip's saying about getting a groundswell and stuff like that, that's absolutely right, and we have it now. Liz Cheney handed that to us, and so we should. I've run a bill for 2 years in a row that essentially would take the primary out of the state's hands completely, and it would have allowed us to solve all three or four problems that we're dealing with. That having been said, it never saw the light of day. And once again, it's that elitism that they don't want to even debate the ideas that the people back home want us to talk about. And they want us to solve some of these problems. And so in my case, it never saw the light of day. It never got any traction. It never moved anywhere. This runoff bill is probably the most important piece of the election integrity aspect of it, other than perhaps the election integrity audit type idea, because runoff won't make any difference if the elections are not honest. But it is the best, in my opinion, it is the best idea to go for.
We just got booted off of 3 formats.
Yes, we did. So a couple things. First, if you're a conservative and you get elected now, like in Wyoming, I got news for you. We elected you. So you better be one of us, because if not, you're not going to be sent back to Cheyenne again. And that's like all of the people that call me about my program. Their number one complaint is that people go to Cheyenne and before they go to Cheyenne, they run around saying, oh, we're pro gun, you know, we're pro life, you know, we're fiscal conservatives. And then they go to Cheyenne and they do exactly the opposite. And we watch things like our SAPA bill go down in flames. And we watch these people spend like drunken sailors. No offense to the people in this room, but you know, look at our education spending. You know, and people across this state are sick and tired of it. So when you get elected as a conservative, you very much are one of us, or you at least better be, or you're not going back there. And the second thing, I think Mark or Representative Jennings is exactly correct, that there's two pieces to this. First, we need the runoff bill, so that we can get the representation that we want. because we all know that not just in the U.S. House, but there are representatives throughout our state that get elected with far less than 50% of the vote. I think Representative Nyman's comment in that hearing was, "Hey, if you got 11% of the vote coming out of the primary, you're good to go. You'll get elected.
You'll win the general.
11%. You know, that's insane. And then the second piece of this is making sure that our elections actually do have integrity. You know, that there's some sort of audit component with the runoff bill, and that we have the ability to audit things. Because I don't think that anybody is saying that we have a gigantic voter fraud problem in Wyoming, but we don't know. We don't know if we do or not. And if, like, there's no other industry that exists that your boss wouldn't say, "Hey, let's check your numbers on that to make sure you're right." It's only in government that we say, "Oh no, I'm sure they're fine. You know, let's not double check them." You know, it's absolutely insane.
David, I'd like to go back just a little bit to the forefront of that, to pledges, and because I didn't answer that, and Chip and Rachel are new, and when I was my first year in, I did sign pledges because your people don't know how you think and how you vote and how, you know, are you, because everyone is a conservative when it comes to campaigning.
Oh, you bet they are.
But when, like you said, when they go down there, but now I don't sign as many pledges, and I have to really feel, I did sign on to CHIPS because I need to have a real conviction to that if I'm going to sign it, because now I have a voting record, and we try and put our every vote that I take out. And so if you've been there a little while, there's some things that do change. In answer to Ken's question there also was that, you know, those pledges, they don't like it because it helps reveal who they are or aren't.
Exactly.
That having been said, if you've been there and you have a voting record, listen, the people of House District 30, I'm grateful and thank them for voting for me. I tell them what my thought process is, and then I ask them, please go check out my voting record against what I tell you I am. If you don't like it, don't vote for me. And they've been very gracious and sent me back. This is the fourth time. I don't think I have to do that on pledges now. I think I have to do it on my voting record. I want them to see how, do I have integrity with what I say or do I not?
Have you all posted your voting records?
It's on the LSO site, and that's the governmental. Now, they make it a little harder.
But have you posted yours?
Ours have not come up because of this lag because of this pandemic COVID stuff.
There's another two platforms.
and so we are behind on it. But you can go to my website right now, and I think you can get 6 years right now, or five or 6 years right now. And, yes, we will be posting the rest of ours. And it's something that if your first year or two, it's hard to get everything organized to that. But you can go to Doug Girard's index and see how people voted. And that's another really good source. People make good decisions if they're informed.
Absolutely.
I think that's critical right there. I think information is power, knowledge is power, and I think that's one of the key things that I want from my tenure, however long it is that get the information to the people, find out what they want to do, see what, you know, give them that information, and they make good decisions, and they can provide good leadership. And I think, you know, and to another point on that, and I think this was one of the pushback points, is that we don't want to sign a pledge because we don't know if things will change. And it was hard for me to understand that from the standpoint of, I guess I give folks at home more credit for being able to realize if I'm doing my job and I go down there and I say, well, this is what I pledged to pass runoff legislation. And I pledge to support even these named bills, you know, if we can get them through and see what's going on. But if something, if there's a poison pill that's added to it or something that comes and changes later, that I guess I never looked at a pledge saying that, yeah, I'm going to get this through. The pledge was, I pledge to support this and pledge to support what you want me to support and the fact that you see this legislation. And if something happens that changes the dynamic of that particular piece of legislation and I have to vote against it, because something's been altered to where it's not doing what the constituents wanted. I mean, maybe I live in under a rock, but I have to believe that the folks in my part of the country have proven that if you go back and tell them what happened, they understand.
Absolutely.
They know what's going on. It's not that I didn't do what I pledged to do. It's simply that I couldn't because of this. And if I provide them with that information saying that this was the constraint or this is the issue. It's like right now, let's just be completely honest with you're holding, David, you've got a copy of that's it in its entirety right there. That's the LSO draft bill. We're going to be talking about that on the 19th of August. I've got a meeting down there. I'm going to go and attend and listen. Then they're going to have the Clerks Association there. We're going to provide opportunity for the stakeholders to go through this legislation, find anything that's wrong with it, look through it, make sure, work through any kinks and stuff like that. So all the stakeholders have an opportunity to voice their concerns, make adaptions or whatever. This is still not done, but I still pledge to support runoff legislation. Now, this can be changed. This can be different. One of the issues we're facing right now is a time constraint. I've got constituents, and I'm sure they're all over the state, that want to see this done yesterday. But in reality, there's a lot of different things that have to come down and fit into categories here and make this all work in order to provide the opportunity for our military to vote. And all these things have to be done a certain amount of time and have to have it. And the clock is ticking. And that's one thing that my constituents are going to, you know, they're going to be wondering, why isn't this, can we get it done for 22? I'm not sure. I mean, that's the thing. We're going to go and have that discussion. There's going to be information from the Secretary of State saying this is what it would take to make this happen in 22. Now, these are the limitations that would require that. You know, but then here now, if I go back home and people say, why didn't you get this done for 22? Because we needed this to ensure that we had a runoff against Liz Cheney. And that's what's driving this. I can tell them it's because this happened. And if we would have passed it, if it would have gotten done through in the 66th, we would have had it probably enough time, which I was even told that if we could get it done then, we could have had the time to implement everything. Special session in 12th of July, possibly, in my discussions with the Secretary of State, it could have, would have been hard, but you know what? We maybe could have done it. That ship has sailed. That horse has left the barn. So now we're at a point here where we're looking at not seeing this thing coming in until later on, unless they would call a special session. But I don't know if the appetite's out there for that. But the reality of it is there's a lot of things that are going to have to happen to that before it gets done. But there it is. There it's in bill form again, and we're going to discuss it and try to make sure we get the kinks out of it. So when it hits the committee, when it hits the legislature, there's less to pick apart. We've done the steps to make it work and to get it through. And you know, and one other thing, and I'll let it go. One issue in this that really concerned me was even in testimony in the Corporations Committee meeting, Representative Swanitzer said, and it was just blew me away, he said, we've known this has been an issue for at least 10 years. It's been on the back burner, where's the exact words? 10 years. Why, you know, what's going on here? Why is this now, Liz Cheney? Now we're at a point where Liz Cheney has turned the heat up and what she's done and the things that are she's made people so frustrated with her performance. This has pushed this to the front. But that's what was ironic to me and really shook me, you know, awake there. Was like, they've known this is an issue for 10 years.
Well, they don't want to fix it. They don't want to fix it because they know that most of them won't get elected without this. or they wouldn't get elected if we had this bill.
If you're listening to this, that's why we're here. For so long, we have sent people to Cheyenne, assuming they would just go do what they're supposed to do. We all go about our jobs and our businesses, and we don't have time to go every night and look at the legislative things and watch the committee meetings and all of that. So that's what David and I are trying to accomplish, is to put together some sort of a platform where you can understand why things aren't working the way we think they should work. What are the holdups, or perhaps even more accurately, who are the holdups, and get rid of them.
It's a liberal ideology that counts on that. It counts on people not being informed and that they have jobs. You know, if you take the conservative, we don't really want to run people's lives, and we don't have a overwhelming desire. We want people to be informed. But the liberal ideology, while you're out there making a living, they're plotting their next elitist idea of what to use against us. And so, I mean, you look at the runoff bill, or you look at the bill that I ran, it you have to go back and look and see who does it advantage to keep it the way that it is. And you can figure that out. You know, just go back and look at who you think, boy, it doesn't make sense that that person really would, that person didn't have 50% of the support. And you'll find that in races all the way up and down the line.
I see that here in my district. And my district is a little bit farther left than most of the rest of Wyoming, but it's still pretty conservative. And when I have found out that my goal is to go out there and educate people, let them know exactly what this man that they have been choosing for years to go and represent them, what he has actually done when he got there. And every time I lay the card, I would say every time, almost every time I lay the cards on the table, people are appalled. Seriously? Really? That's what we're about.
Absolutely.